people were asking me if I know if it's copyrightable. So I thought, well, I'm not a lawyer and lawyers don't know. So the only way to know is actually just to try and copyright that.
I am with Chris Castanova, who recently launched into some stardom, some fame around the goal of copywriting the first AI-created comic book that is sought a copyright. Chris, we're going to talk about the copyright and all the legal things and what you've experienced online as a result of this work that you've done. But I'd really like to just begin at the beginning. Let's talk about the art itself. What did you set out to create? Why did you create it? What was the inspiration? Tell me the story of that.
Okay, hi, John. So I am actually a self-portraitist. I take self-portraits for past maybe 8 or 7 years. I always say 7, but I think it's been 8 or 9 because the pandemic completely erased 2 years of our lives. So I take self-portraits and pretty much all of my personal work in past years were self-portraits. I don't like the way I look and I tried to get okay with that. And I thought if I photograph myself so many times that I get comfortable with it. So I was taking self-portraits and at first I was using Photoshop to add some meaning to it. It's not just usually a portrait, it's usually some environment and some story in it. And I tried to take a self-portrait every single day. And then the pandemic was really difficult for me. I lost 5 very close people in my life. I lost my grandma. And then I lost 2 of my best friends and 2 of my quite good friends. And I was really struggling with grief and I started writing a story. And the story was about me. So it was my way to process loss and feeling isolated because of the pandemic. I live in New York. And I live in Manhattan, and it was a difficult time to be in Manhattan during the pandemic. So I decided to kind of take myself on this journey of writing a novel, and it was in 2021. And as a self-portraitist, I tried to illustrate it. So I would take self-portraits, and I would create the entire world in 3D, applications. I use Cinema 4D and I use Blender. I tried to learn it. I really did the best I could because I couldn't really take myself to those amazing places. Before the pandemic, I worked as a photographer and I was really fortunate because I photographed sport, I photographed yoga, and I traveled a lot. So for my self-portraits, I could take amazing photographs in amazing locations where I would come for work. But as pandemic started, all my photography jobs shut down. I couldn't travel anymore. My clients couldn't come. So all I was left with was pretty much myself, my room. Also, there was a space like behind the house in Manhattan, like a building, where I could go and photograph myself against a gray wall. So I did that and I was taking photos of myself and I was putting myself into these 3D scenes and I was posting one image every day and a part of my story. And at first I was telling it from my perspective. I would create a different world every single day and I would name it with some made up name that didn't mean anything, but I would name it. And each world was connected with an emotion. This way I tried to kind of express how I felt and how each world felt. And then I did it for about 200 days. And the images were okay, but all of them were pretty much this vast landscape and very, very tiny me. Because I didn't want to make myself too big, I felt so small in this big world, just isolated. And then one of my friends on Instagram, he's an artist, he's a painter, he lives in St. Louis, and his name is Rusty. And he said, oh, I came up with a cool name for your series. And I said, yeah, what is it? And he said, it's Zarya of the Dawn. And I said, look, but that doesn't make any sense because my native language is Russian. And Zarya in Russian means dawn. It's like dawn of the dawn. But my friend Rusty was really very convinced that this is a perfect name. And I love him to bits. He's just such a gentle soul. He's an amazing person that I thought, okay, now I will tell it from the point of view of Zarya. And I got my imagination blossomed because I didn't have to connect it with myself anymore. I could create any worlds and any situations. And Zarya became someone else. Even though for like half a year I was playing that role, but I would mostly never face the camera. I would always be like away from the camera, so it didn't matter. So this is how I was processing my loss, making those images. And then I kind of gave up on it. It was 2021. There was no generative AI. All my images were made with other tools like Blender, Photoshop. And then in 2022, in about a year, I discovered generative AI and it blew my mind. And I was like, wow, I can create all the worlds, all the images.
And just what did you start? Was it Stable Diffusion? Was it Midjourney? What did you discover?
It was Midjourney. It was before Stable Diffusion times. I mean, Stable Diffusion, obviously, Midjourney uses the same model, but there was no way to use Stable Diffusion yet. Mm. I think Midjourney had access, but no one else had access to those models. No one could use it, so like we do now. So I couldn't really train it on my own face. So I had to come up with a way to create a consistent character. And I just watched Euphoria with Zendaya, and I absolutely love this TV series and love the actor. So I thought, okay, well, I can't be Zarya because I can't train it on myself. So I used her as an inspiration. I was writing prompts and I was writing something like a woman in her 20s who looks like Zendaya. And this is pretty much how I managed to keep consistency of character because there wasn't other way. I did try to use reference images, but they didn't work as well in Midjourney version 3. I made one character quite consistent, but it only kind of, I could make it for 2 pages because it was almost like, you know, how you do 4 iterations and those 4 faces I could use, and then the rest were very, very different. So, but I did what I could. I wish I had technology that we have now, but hey, I'm making a new comic book now and I can train it and like on all my friends and on myself. It's incredible how in just 6 months, everything progressed so much.
So you had the idea in your mind of the character that you wanted to bring to life and maybe someone in the past who was a painter, for example, could have been inspired by the same person and wanted to turn that into a character. But in your case, you had access to artificial intelligence technology that could help you craft that to tell your story.
Yeah, definitely. It was such a magical time for me because it was so new. And creating 1 page a day, and I would share, and I could see the community on Facebook. I wasn't on Twitter at the time, but there are Facebook groups with people who love AI. And it was amazing how people were supportive and kind of I got so many new friends while I was creating it. And now it grew so much that I have so many friends who also make comic books now. We even made like collectives. We made several comic books, like 20 people making it. It was a great fun. I think it's just so perfect for storytelling and for like making comic books and storyboards and stuff like that.
You have a really interesting quote on your Instagram actually about storytelling. You say AI without storytelling is like an orchestra without music. What do you mean by that?
One of my great friends has a daughter and she is 9 years old and she plays violin. And she goes to this place where she plays violin, and there are like 100 more children, all play violin, nothing else. And there was a concert, and all these 100 children were playing violin, and it was so beautiful. But then there were six of them. There were six orchestras like that, and some of them could play violin really well, like my friend's daughter, and some of them were real bad at it. And some of them were very obviously didn't even want to be there. And I thought about it and I thought, hey, they all have violins, but some of them play it so nicely and so like beautifully. And some of them, they just were like trying to kick each other with those instruments. And it made me think about it. It's like we have such power. We can tell any story. We can do anything. But at the same time, if there is no application to it, it's like there is no music. There is nothing.
You discovered Midjourney, which helped you tell this essentially the story through your art and the story of Zarya that you made into the comic book, which we'll, by the way, put a link in the show notes for anyone who wants to look at it. I think a lot of people have seen like the cover art. I don't know how many people have looked at the story. I think everyone should take a look at it. We'll include some of the art as we go through this interview as well, just so people can get a flavor for it. But then the whole copyright thing came up. So you decided you wanted to copyright this work. Why did that even occur to you?
So there were two things that happened almost at the same time. First thing is because I am a photographer, I mean, at least in the past, I was a professional photographer. I had a very big community of photographers around me. And as soon as I started doing AI, a lot of them didn't like the idea of it.
What did they not like?
At first, when it started, I was just posting images. I wasn't posting the comic book. I was just generating images. You know how I got so excited? I think in 3 days, I probably generated everything I could think about. From Central Park in New York, to cats, to whatever. I was so excited that I couldn't keep it to myself, that I think I posted maybe 30 times a day on Facebook. I couldn't stop.
We all went through that phase when we discovered these tools. Yes.
I really needed to share. I didn't even care if how many likes or comments I get. I was just broadcasting my joy through all these images. And I think at the very beginning, people were like, oh, but those are not photographs. It's for lazy people. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty lazy. I love it. This is great. The images are amazing. I was like, oh my gosh, like something like this. As a photographer, I know how much work it takes to take images like this. So I was very happy because I worked very hard on my photography for so many years. I was relieved that now I can just type a sentence and get a beautiful image that tells the story that I want to tell. But I think at first people were more concerned that like, oh, they all look the same. And they kind of did. And version 3, they were this painterly, beautiful things. I didn't care. I loved them so much. Mm-hmm. When I guess people got really already tired of so many posts, some people started saying, oh, Christina, you are wasting your time. you're an artist and you're wasting your time because this is not copyrightable. You can't sell it. And then I was like, oh, that's such an interesting question because I do pay for my subscription to Midjourney. What are the kind of rules? Can you sell it? Can you monetize on it? I read the rules and the rules said that you can. That you can sell, you can monetize, it's yours. So then what I did was ask all my friends' lawyers who aren't my lawyers, just friends' lawyers, what they think. And all of them said different opinions. None of them knew what was going on. This is what I could get because everyone had some kind of different view on it. And I didn't see any other way to test it than to copyright it. That, to be honest, my main goal was to know what to respond to those people who tell me I'm wasting my time. Also, because very quickly I became someone who everyone was asking about AI, people were asking me if I know if it's copyrightable. So I thought, well, I'm not a lawyer and lawyers don't know. So the only way to know is actually just to try and copyright that. And another thing happened at the same time. It was the time when I wasn't using Twitter at all. I had an account, but was never using it. And at the time, blue check was only for famous people. I did not have that. Someone wrote me that apparently some person who was famous posted my graphic novel on his Twitter and it went viral. And I said, oh, and how is it doing? And they say, oh, very bad. There are such terrible comments down that thread. Mm-hmm. They told me that this man posted my graphic novel and a lot of people started telling him that he's a white straight man publishing this woman of color and stuff like that. And I was like, well, maybe they wouldn't have the same reaction if I did that.
Okay, so let me just make sure I understand then. So it was someone who took your work and yes. was basically presenting it online. Presumably, he wasn't claiming it was his. He was just...
He didn't credit me, and everyone assumed it was his.
I see.
But I usually see good in people. So I asked my friends to actually message him and to ask to take it down. Because I didn't want credit for it, because they were bad comments. Why would I want that? And he apologized, and he said that, yes, he did not mean to post it and to make it his. The truth is he posted a bunch of things he liked that was made by AI as a thread. And one of all his thread messages, that one went viral and he kind of didn't know what to do with it because he didn't want to delete the entire thread. He didn't know how to handle it. But it was not malicious. I thought, well, but what if someone would take it? Is there a way for me to do something about it? Because the truth is, you in the US, when you create work, you have copyright. But if you want to go to court, you have to have it registered. If you haven't had it registered, it's very difficult to go to court. So there is a reason why the copyright office exists. In other countries, it's different. In those countries, they don't have a copyright office and the copyright is by default.
So what has happened with the copyright process so far? I know it's ongoing, but what have you learned about it now that you've gotten into it? What have the issues been?
So I did receive copyright when I first submitted and I did not have a lawyer or anything like this at the time. So I just went to an online registration and submitted it. And then in like 3 or 4 days, I received the copyright. I was happy with it. I shared about it. People started writing about me, like first copyright, first AI assisted copyright. Mm-hmm. And then I think 2 months later, the copyright office sent me this very long, very harsh email. Because a journalist from the Washington Post reached out to them for a comment. They looked into my work and they realized they did not know what Midjourney was. So they sent me a very long letter saying that I need to explain the process, how I made it. I don't like getting harsh and long emails from any place, really.
Yeah.
I come from Soviet Union. It's like in where I come from, you could be jailed for something like this. So I was very nervous and I didn't know what to do. Thankfully, I wrote to a Facebook group called Midjourney Official, and the moderators were like, oh, we can send this to Midjourney team and see what they say. And the next day, two lawyers from Midjourney reached out and said, we can help you if you want.
Midjourney themselves was very helpful to you.
The lawyers were helpful and they helped with writing that letter that everyone can read now. They posted it right away. It was a good letter. It was like a poetry letter. It was really good.
Yeah, it's very long. We'll link it in the show notes as well so that people can check it out. Like, there's a lot in there.
It took, I think, 2 or 3 months for the copyright office to go through it. And during this 2 or 3 months, every 2 weeks, there would be like a wave of fake news that it was revoked. And these poor lawyers would have to like contact all the newspapers and say that, no, there are no news. I don't know why you think that. And finally, they made a decision. So they did give me a copyright, but with limitation. So basically, the comic book is copyrighted, the story is copyrighted, and the images arrangement is copyrighted, but the images one by one aren't. You can also send the link to that final letter that they wrote. And I think after they wrote that letter, very soon they released, on maybe like 2 or 3 days after, they released generative AI guidelines. And also they mentioned that starting from April, and I think for 2 or 3 months, they are going to listen to lawyers and AI artists and other people to kind of make a more better guidelines, I guess. I'm definitely taking part in all of that and working on my next work that I would like to copyright and share a new technology, because I think since August, when I submitted Zarya of the Dawn, no one uses AI like this anymore. It's very different now. And I use mostly Stable Diffusion, yes, and I train models. It's very controlled. So I'm hoping to be able to copyright some images and to explain different technologies to the copyright office. And I am very lucky because since I started working on my new work, I'm using Stable Diffusion locally, so for free. And I wrote again on social media that I need a very good and free lawyer. And I found lawyers from Morrison and Foerster. And I was told they are very good and they are pro bono. So, and they also agreed to record a video with me for the community when we copyright something, to kind of explain the argument from the copyright office perspective. I can show how I did it in Stable Diffusion and they can share what is the argument that that's copyrightable.
So in your latest work that I've been seeing, you're using a lot more self-photography. It looks like, it sounds like you're training the models to use your own photography as inputs into it. Can you just elaborate a little bit on like the changes to your process and this whole idea of like training a model of your own to create the art?
At first, before I actually got my new lawyers, I started working on this like self-portraits comic book, and the reason why is because so many people mentioned Zendaya, and I didn't feel good about using someone's likeness without consent, but there was no way for me to ask for her consent. I did try to find any contact information, but I couldn't. On her website, there is no way to contact her. So, I mean, I never sold my comic book. I never printed it. It was published in several magazines, but it was always for free. I never monetized on it. And it did end up at Comic-Con in Las Vegas, though. And when it did, I was asked how they could pay me. And I said, well, I am not monetizing on it because there is Zendaya's likeness. I have no way to ask for her consent anyway, and I don't feel it's right to do so. So, but we made like donation button for a charity that I really like, that I volunteer with here in New York. And we raised like more than $1,000 for homeless people, and it was wonderful. But like other than that, I didn't monetize on it, and I felt really bad because when I was making it, I never thought it would become famous. Because honestly, apart from Facebook groups with AI people, I got so little support in like anywhere, so I didn't expect it. So I felt completely fine. I was like, well, if like 20 people see it, there is not a big problem. There is Zendaya's likeness. But because it became famous and a lot of news and a lot of people mentioned it, I felt quite bad about it. So I'm now making my own comic. I thought, well, because I took so many self-portraits, I can actually show the copyright office that my process as a photographer, I'm a fine art photographer, so I use a lot of Photoshop. And sometimes I build sets. I like building sculptures. So sometimes it's Photoshop and sometimes it's not. And in the past, people couldn't tell because they don't know if I made it myself or if I would do it in Photoshop. So it was kind of my way to intrigue people. I would show them an image and they would think it's Photoshop, and then I would show a video how I'm actually building the set. So I thought the same way I can do with AI. So I put photos I took, I put Photoshop I took, and then I put AI. And so I started asking people on social media which images they think are real and which they think AI, and no one can guess right. And I said, well, if there is no way to tell, then it means that my process with photography is as creative and as controlled as it is with AI.
It's the visual Turing test, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't thought of that, but that's such a good comparison. But you know, since I have lawyers, I talked to them about it, and I said to them that because now what I do actually matters, I can see how it has impact. I said that maybe copywriting first image shall not be my face, because I don't want them to say you have to train your own model, because not everyone can train their own model. And also, like, it's quite complicated to do. And also, there are many tools where you don't even have to train it. Or if you don't make a portrait, what if you make a forest or a house? You still have to have an opportunity to copyright it. And also there are so many models that are available and tools available. So I thought maybe for the community, it will be best if instead of my self-portraits comic book, I will just copyright one image that I made on a standard like Stable Diffusion 1.5. and create art with it, but very, very controlled one, to show them that I'm a mastermind. Mastermind is the word they used to not copyright my images. So now I want to show that.
We all think you're a mastermind, Chris.
When I read it, I was so, I said, why do they write it? It's so offensive to say. And she said that my lawyer said that it's not, it's just from the book, the term they actually use. And right. I was quite surprised about it. I think she said that, but it's like the mastermind means that I am in control of the outcome. And to be honest, I thought a bit about it. Have you ever tried watercolors?
Yeah.
Are you ever in control of that? But I have to prove that at least it's a similar control to like painting and watercolors and like stuff like this. And I think with like control nets and stuff like that, it's so much easier to show that it's not a slot machine. It doesn't give me just all these images and you pack them into a comic book and it's done.
Are you working with ControlNet now for like posing and things like that?
Yeah, I work for drawings and I work for photographs because I do have photographs and I like putting them into ControlNets and I like putting sketches into ControlNets and making art with that. Yeah, and also like latent couple for the areas, and I keep like it's actually so funny because I get interviewed by different news agencies, and then it takes them a while to issue it, and when they message me, the technology is kind of outdated. The one I told them about, it's already done. So I tell them, oh, that was like last week. This week is already a few more things. Probably while you and I are talking, something else is coming out.
No doubt. Yeah. So it's interesting. So I'm not a lawyer at all, of course, but you know, I would think that if I got a mannequin or a doll and posed it in a scene and took a photograph of it, I could now copyright that photograph very easily. No one would object to that, even though everything in the scene I didn't invent, I just sort of arranged it. But if you do it digitally, essentially the same thing, there's still a question.
There is a question. I think the question is because the guidelines are so vague. But also, they were writing those guidelines before ControlNets, because ControlNets, it's what, like 3 weeks now?
Yeah, it's brand new. Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah, ControlNet is something everyone, if you're just hearing about this for the first time, you'll want to check it out, because it gives you a lot of control. I mean, it's called ControlNet for a reason. You really can control the posing of characters within scenes. It can produce really interesting results.
Yeah, and I feel all of that will only move forward with ways to control, because it's so much fun to make generative AI, but then if you actually want to use it for some, I don't know, storyboards or even comic books, it's nice to have some way to control it. So I do believe that's future. Also, like using your sketches, using like ways to describe your image a little bit more through like sketching it or like masking it, also a great tool. But hey, who knows? I really wish we had a time machine to look in a year what it's going to be.
A little while ago, you used the word community, that you are doing a lot of this work now with copyright and whatnot for community. I've also seen things that you've posted online about how you're building a safe community for AI in New York where you live. So first of all, tell me more about that. And when you say safe, where does that word come from? Why do you need to focus on that aspect of things?
When I say community, when I say AI community, I actually just mean people, all people on internet and in real life who use AI technology. And to be very honest, it's all of us. It's not just people who use generative AI, because like if you ever use the bank card, if you ever shopped online, if you use Google Maps, you are in my AI community. When something about me gets published, I get this wave of anti-AI comments on my social media, and it was very unpleasant. And then during Christmas, it was extremely bad. It was so bad. And I knew that several people who write AI comic books, these basically the group are organized, that some of them got death threats. And I personally don't know if I got any, because I actually tried to like not read a lot of comments. But I did get a lot of personal messages, and it was very painful for me. So when that happened, I just started a channel on Discord. It was back in December. No, it was actually like end of November. And it was called Emotional Support Channel for people who feel like they've been harassed by anti-AI movement. And a lot of people joined it, and I saw how supportive people were to each other. And then here in New York, well, to be honest, like, I personally, I know only a bunch of people who live in New York and who do generative AI. There is kind of like very small real life community here, but the AI community all over the world is quite big. And that's why I returned to Twitter just probably a month and a half ago. I got back and I was so surprised what an amazing place it has become. Because last time when I logged into my feed, I had to deactivate it because people were sending so many hateful messages. But I am so glad that like on day number 29, I restored my account. And I just saw so much love and support. And I think Twitter AI community is probably my favorite now. And just so many amazing people. Everyone is sharing. Like today, I do AI for a job. It's my job to do AI. So I was having some issues and I didn't know who to ask because I don't know many people who know AI because I am head of AI. And if I don't know, no one knows. So I asked on Twitter and all of a sudden five people messaged me and they were machine learning engineers. So they told me in detail the whole process. And I was so surprised how helpful and supportive everyone, complete strangers. I never ever talked to them before in my life. And then again, I had another question later on, and I just messaged this amazing artist named Claire, who has like gazillion followers. And I thought, well, we follow each other, but we never spoke. And I thought it will take her like 10 days to respond to my DM. But she responded right away, and she helped me, and she explained like what I need to do. And it was amazing. So I feel very like grateful for the community, but the community is pretty much everyone here and whoever who knows me and who likes AI or curious about AI, I call everyone community.
So it seems like in the last several months, the last year, you've seen the best of people and sounds like the worst of people as well. What have you learned about people through this whole process of working on this art?
I always try to ask what I learn about myself. I learned that I'm stronger than I thought and more patient than I thought, because I did not think I was particularly patient or strong. I actually thought I was very impatient, but a lot of things happened. And there were a few things like really terrible on a personal level connected to AI. And I liked how, even though it was such a chaos, first, most people who were anti-AI towards me either changed their mind or apologized. Some of them didn't, but at the same time, I feel that it's kind of shifting towards people accepting it more. I got few people who are photographers reaching out to me asking if I can show them AI, and honestly, I didn't expect from those particular people to be curious about it and to want to learn it. So I guess I learned that first, there are a lot of good people. Also, there are people who all of a sudden come to my rescue, like free lawyers, or I don't know, people who answer my questions, who want to help. I also learned how difficult change is for a lot of people. Also, what I learned about myself is that I don't know a lot. I don't know how to solve the ethical problem of it. I honestly don't. I wish I knew. People keep asking me about it, and I'm like, well, if I knew, I would solve it. I even stopped having an opinion about it, to be honest, because I realized the more I learn, the more I see how much I don't know.
You discovered that people's minds can be changed, which is what a discovery in this day and age that we live in, because everything on the internet tends to be so polarized. So the fact that people could kind of start to learn and change their views is really interesting. And it sounds like you're one of those people. You're learning as you're going too. So this has been really just a wonderful conversation, Chris. I want to thank you for taking your time to talk to me about all of this stuff. You're certainly a pioneer with all of this generative AI art, with your work with photography and ControlNet and Midjourney and all the stuff that you're doing now. Very interesting. And on top of that, all this leadership you've offered around copyright and the community and whatnot. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, John, for making this space. And I can't wait to listen to more speakers that you invite.